Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Yard of Ale. Around Bangkok I searched for you. Wild oats I sowed down Sealam Road to keep our rendezvous. The Ramayana was really packed. I ran upstairs to catch the Tropicana's floor show act. From the honey, the starlight and the champagne room, a ride to the riverside to hear a Latin tune. In the bamboo bar I could have had a ball, but I didn't find you in that place at all. To the garden cafe I headed for. That place was crowded and I couldn't get inside the door. At the drop-in, folks were doing fine. I had a beer then disappeared down to Club 99. I couldn't find you so I came outside. Decided to the keynote I would take a ride. I called in Mizu's and Max's place, but I never saw your smiling face. I went mad in the Aladdin, and much to my folly, I had a drink and then I had two more in the trolley. For a while in the Carlton I thought I'd sit, before I took a cab ride up to Sukhumvit. I found two Vikings to my liking, the Nipper Hut as well. I tried the Crown and then came down to the Rex Hotel. I had another drink and when I'd paid my bill, I tried to find you in the Emerald Grill. I tried Caesar's, the Stardust and the Orchid Room. At Susie's Little Inn they said you'd been but left real soon. I made the Pizza House and then the Domino. I looked around, you couldn't be found, so I tried the Sunny Chateau. The Sabai Tong, I didn't stay long, but took a little stroll down to the Erewhon. They handed me a message from you to say you'd be there at the Café de Paris. In that elegant building somehow you I missed. I thought that I would go to the Naturist. I tried the Maylands and Nick's number one. You weren't in there and so I called in at the Saisibon. It was no dice so I walked to the traffic lights. In the window there I chanced to stare and much to my delight, I saw your smiling face inside that cozy place. And I realized I would find you without fail at our favorite night spot, the Yard of Ale.
About that then.
I like New York in June. How about you? I love the Gershwin tune. How about you? I love a fireside when a storm is due. I love potato chips, moonlight and motor trips. How about you? I'm mad about good books. Can get my thrill. And Miss Bridget Bardot's looks. Hear about the time that Bridget Bardot fainted? Two doctors took her to the hospital to her breast. Holding hands in the movie show when the lights are low. May not be new. I like it. How about you? I'm mad about good books. Can't get my thrill. And Miss Bridget Bardot's looks. Hear about the time Bridget Bardot got lost in the jungle. Two cannibals came up and said, too bad we had to be headhunters. Calling her in a movie show when the lights are low. May not be new, but I like it. I love it. I like it. How about you? There's a colonel, an admiral, and a bishop to maternity hospital awaiting with their respective happy events. The nurse came out. She said, Colonel, I've got some very good news for you. You're the father of a bouncing baby boy. The colonel was overjoyed. He picked up the telephone and said, he dialed a number. He said, hello, is that the barracks? This is the colonel speaking. I'm the father of a bouncing baby boy. Fire a 21-gun salute. 5 minutes after that, the nurse came out again. She said, Admiral, I've got some excellent news for you. You're the father of twins. The Admiral picked up the telephone, dialed a number, said, hello, is that the Admiralty? I'm the father of twins. Fire two 21-gun salutes. 10 minutes later, the nurse came out, and there was the bishop pacing up and down. She said, Bishop, I've got some really terrific news for you. You're the father of triplets. Well, the bishop picked up the telephone, dialed a number, and said, "Hello, this is the bishop speaking. I'm the father of triplets. Fire the cannon." Now I have a little song from London. Oh, woe is me, and alas, alack, a tear runs down my cheek as I tell a tale of Nelly Clack, the belle of Barking Creek. Her hair is yellow as the golden sun, except where the black shows through, and her age has been a steady 21 since 1942. And every day she wheels her barrow, selling welts and winkles from the quart, and she only strays from the straight and narrow when the fleet's at home in port. For a sailor man she cannot resist, her mind and her legs grow weak, and every matelow for miles has kissed the belle of Barking Creek. One lovely evening when the moon was full, she stood by the garden gate, while idly wondering what to do, poor Nelly met her fate. A great big stoker by the name of Bert had come into town that day. He said, "God blimey, what a piece of skirt," and carried her away. She darned his socks and she fried his bacon, and she scarcely paused for breath, until poor Nell was overtaken by a fate that is worse than death, so they say. He said, "I'm going, but I'll soon be back. I write to you every week. But we know damn well that Nelly Clack is up the Barking Creek." There's no more to tell of poor little Nell, the belle of Barking Creek. You know, just before they repealed the hanging law in England, there was a woman found guilty of murder. Well, she went down to the Central Criminal Court, Old Bailey. The judge passed sentence on her. She was sentenced to be hanged. While she was in the condemned cell awaiting execution, the governor of the prison came over and said, "Before you die, have you any last request?" She said, "Well, sir, I'd like to be hanged in the nude." So he said, we always respect the prisoner's last requests. And so the day of execution came along, and they called for this woman. They took her along to the scaffold. There was the executioner with his rope in his hand. And he said, "You know, you might be a killer, miss, but you've certainly got a marvelous body." She said, "Yes, and it's all yours if you keep your trap shut." She was young, she was pure, she was new, she was nice, she was fair, she was sweet, 17. He was old, he was vile, no stranger to vice. He was bad, he was base, he was mean. He had slyly inveigled her up to his flat to see his collection of stamps, and said as he secretly put out the cat, the wine, his cigar, and the lamps, "Have some Madeira, my dear. You really have nothing to fear. I'm not trying to tempt you, that wouldn't be right. It's wrong to drink spirits at this time of night. Have some Madeira, my dear. It's really much nicer than beer. Now never drink sherry, that's definitely out. And port is a wine one can well do without. And never drink Guinness, it might make you stout. So have some Madeira, my dear." Unaware of the wiles of the snake in the grass and the fate of the maiden who topes, she lowered her standards by raising her glass, her courage, her eyes, and his hopes. She sipped it, she drank it, she drained it, she did. He quietly refilled it again, and said as he secretly carved one more notch on the butt of his gold-handled cane, "Have some Madeira, my dear. I've got a small cask of it here. Now once it's been opened, you know it won't keep. So finish it off, it will help you to sleep. Have some Madeira, my dear. It's really an excellent year. Now if it were gin, you'd be wrong to say yes. The evil gin does would be hard to assess. Besides, it's inclined to affect me prowess. Nyah, nyah, nyah. So have some Madeira, Madeira. Then there flashed to her mind what her mother had said, with her anti-penultimate breath. My child, should you look on the wine when 'tis red, you will suffer a fate worse than death. She'll let go her glass with a shrill little cry. Crash, tinkle, it fell to the floor. Tinkle, tinkle, tinkle. He cried, what in heaven? She made no reply, but made a beeline for the door. Have some Madeira, my dear. Rang out down the hall loud and clear. A tremulous cry that was filled with despair as she paused to take breath in the cool midnight air. Have some Madeira, my dear. The sound seemed to ring in her ear. Until the next morning she woke up in bed, a smile on her lips and an ache in her head, and a beard in her ear hole which tickled and said, have some Madeira, Madeira. You know, in olden days, in King Arthur's days, they used to complain that the nights weren't long enough. Nowadays, a young girl likes to go to bed with a good book. In olden days, it just used to curl up with some of the pages. You smile, your teeth fall out. Your face looks like a Brussels sprout. It's tragic. Your breath, so warm and sweet, has all the charm of unwashed feet. It's tragic. We met upon the beach, and that was that. You were Miss Universe when they thought the world was flat. When you undress at night, it really is a ghastly sight. It's tragic. When you are in the raw, your figure's in the dresser drawer. It's tragic. But darling, we both know these things I've told you aren't really too true. So tell the keeper that, and he'll not put you in the zoo. There was a lady staying in one of these cheap hotels. She started getting ready for bed. She forgot to lock the door of her room. It started to swing open. While she was getting ready for bed, there was one of the bellboys was passing by. He stopped to have a look. Well, she took all her clothes off, and then she took out her false teeth and she put them in a glass. She took out her glass eye and she put that on the dresser. She took off her wig and she hung that on the edge of the bed. She was just about to unstrap her wooden leg and she saw this fellow looking at her. She said, hey, what do you want? He said, you know, come on, throw it over. Anything is finer than to see my Carolina in the morning. Her pulse is lying on the floor and teeth bought in the corner store at dawning. When she's dressed, her figure is trim and rather neat. But when she strips at bedtime, what happens to the meat? When she wipes her makeup all off, she looks more like Boris Karloff. It's appalling. Oh, when she's lying in the nude, I really can't get in the mood. I'm yawning. If I had Aladdin's lamp for only a day, I'd make a wish and here's what I'd say. Bring me an ocean liner and ship out my Carolina in the morning or in the evening without warning. You hear about the two pigs went to a party, left because they got bored? I took my wife to a fancy dress party once. It was one of the New Year's parties. We went as a bull and a cow. We didn't win any prizes, but we had to walk home. Couldn't get a cab anywhere. While we were walking down the main street, she still had the cow skin on, I still had the bull skin on. We decided to take a shortcut, and we crossed a couple of fields. She gave me a nudge. She said, I don't want to worry you, but there's a real bull close behind us. What are you going to do? I said, well, darling, I'm going to eat grass. If I were you, I'd brace myself. Well, do we have anybody here from Ireland tonight? Anybody from Ireland?
Yes.
Coney Island. Oh, yeah. Well, here's an Irish song just for you. It's all about an Irish old maid who says her prayers every night and says, Lord, have mercy on me. In the shade of the old apple tree, sat two Irishmen drunk as can be. Said Pat, I suppose there's a fly on my nose. Won't you knock off that darn fly for me? Said his pal who was sitting nearby, with a shovel I'll knock off that fly. There was a sickening splat, and they buried poor Pat in the shade of the old apple tree. 'Twas on a pile of debris where I found her. She was drunk, yes, as drunk as can be. I can still see the flies buzzing round her where we met in that old cemetery. She said, can you smell the perfume of roses? I said, it's more like old granddad to me. She was gone with the tide in the morning. Was a garbage man took her from me. Three fellas, they were talking about the day they'd die. The three of them decided on the place where they would lie. Goldberg chose Jerusalem, Tel Aviv for Rubenstein. But when it came to Cohen, he said, he's the place for mine. Sure, it's where the Shannon's flowing. That's the place where I'll repose. In some Irish cemetery with some shamrocks up my nose. For the devil, he'll be trying to find me, I suppose. But he'll never think of looking where the river Shannon flows. Born on a mountaintop in Palestine, reared on kefilte fish and many shepherd's wine, killed 40 Arabs before he was 9. Who, Davy Crockett? No, Davy Finkelstein. Davy, Davy, stop it, you're king of the bar mitzvah. Cha-cha-cha. Roses are reddish, violets are bluish. If it wasn't for Christmas, we'd all be Jewish. And now we're going to have a Scottish song. I just got back from the Isle of Skye. I'm no very big and I'm awful shy. The lassies say when I go by, Donald, where's your trousers? Let the wind blow high, let the wind blow low. Through the streets of my coat I'll go. All the lassies say hello. Donald, where's your trousers? You hear about the Scotsman and his wife asked the little boy what he wanted for Christmas. He said, I want a watch, so they let him. I took my lassie to the ball. It was awful slippery in the hall. I was afeard that I would fall. I had knee on me trousers. Let the wind blow high, let the wind blow low. Through the streets my coat I'll go. All the lassies say hello. Donald, where's your trousers? I was walking down Sealham Road and a lady said to me, she said, Donald, what does the Scotsman wear underneath his kilt? I said, madam, I'm a man of a few words. Give me your hand. Oh. Tea wear the kilt is my delight. It is near wrong, I know it's right. The islanders would die of fright if they caught me wearing trousers. Oh, the wind blow high, let the wind blow low. Through the streets of my kilt I'll go. All the lassies say hello. Donald, where's your trousers? Jock was taking Jeannie out for a walk. I said, Jeannie, why don't you come and sit underneath this tree? She said, no, Jock, I cannot do that. He says, what's the matter? Don't you like the gleam in my eye? He says, no, Jock, it's not the gleam in your eye I'm worried about. It's the tilt in your kilt. Now I live in the land of Ty, and my motto's my pen rye. All the lasses say by nigh. Donald, where's your trousers? Let the wind blow high, let the wind blow low. Through the streets in my kilt I'll go. All the lasses say hello. Donald, where's your trousers? Donald, where's your...